That's a course taught in school, apologetics, and it means a defense of the faith. It's like archaeology, like other things, the miracles of Jesus that we're looking at tonight, the other things of how he can get hold of a heart, get hold of a life, and change it for his glory, for his working. What a wonder it is as we think about it. How did God certify his people here on the earth? How did he endorse people like Elijah and like Elisha? He showed miracles through them. They were his prophets. They were sent by him. And he authenticated them with miracles. Notice with me 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and at verse 12. The signs of an apostle were performed with great endurance among you. The signs of an apostle. How did we know that a man was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ? They were with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them all the way from the beginning. One of them met Jesus Christ down at Damascus Road. And that was Saul of Tarsus when he became Paul the Apostle. The signs of apostle were worked with endurance among you. God authenticated his apostles of old, his prophets of old, by miracles. Authority over idols, the remarkable answers to prayer, to protect his servants, to punish the evildoer. These were some of the reasons God sent miracles in the past. Can God do miracles today? Oh, yes. But it's his sovereignty. Don't forget, God is sovereign. He has the final say-so when he's going to do it, how he's going to do it, where he's going to do it, to whom he's going to do it. God has an apologetic, a defense of the faith in the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then again, there is the wonder of the evangelistic work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we get to this slide, the evangelistic work of Christ. When we call him Savior, then we call him by his name. You know, people get crowded around us. Sometimes those crowds are interesting. My wife goes into ShopRite and she says, three people in the aisle, it's too much. Can't take it. It is. It's too many people. Do you ever feel like that? Hemmed in? She does. I do too. When you get too many people in the aisle, I can't get that scooter down there. Then I'm in real trouble. I got to be able to move about as we think about it. But Jesus Christ, it said, could look out at a crowd of people. And how did he look at them? As sheep without a shepherd. It says he had compassion on them. Come is with. Passion means the heart. Jesus Christ had his heart go out to people when he was here upon the earth. Does that speak about what our heart should be like today? I pray that very much today. Lord, give me a heart like Jesus so I can really look at people like he did and see them as sheep without a shepherd. See them as those who are lost, those who are needing a Savior. Jesus Christ is the inspiration for every ambulance driver, every medic, every person who goes out there and tries to help someone. What a joy it is to know that his compassion is there. John 14, 12, it says, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. When Jesus Christ went home to glory, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, there personally, visibly. But he works within our hearts today by his Spirit so that we can do the greater works. I think of how the greater works have come with many millions of souls who have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. You remember the Samaritan woman went, found the men of the city, brought them out so that they might hear about this living water. But oh, the joy of realizing when the gospel is preached, many people have come under the sound of hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ, and many people have also come to know him as their Savior and as their Lord. What a joy it is to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is a prophetic reality with the reality of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 5, and noting at verse 19, 1 John chapter 5, down at verse 19. This is an interesting verse, and do remember it. We know that we are of God. The whole world is under the sway of who? The evil one, the wicked one. That's Satan. I like the one translation that puts it, the whole world is in the lap of Satan. Right now, Satan's got people in his lap. He wants to control their lives. He wants to be the head. He wants to be the one who's going to dictate what they do. Jesus Christ wants to be there too. He wants to be Lord of our life. What's going to happen? One day, the King is going to come again in the air to catch up his own to be with him. One day we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a day that will be, as I used to say. What a day that is going to be when Jesus Christ comes to call us unto himself. What a climax. What a climax when he triumphs and the King is going to rule over his kingdom and prove his power, his might here upon the earth. His kingdom is not yet ushered in, but one day it's coming. God's glorious kingdom is going to be here. And then the miracles have a pedagogical, that's a big word, isn't it? Peda means to walk about. Gogical simply means understanding, or like a teacher does, to teach. A teacher teaches so that people can get hold of the teaching. But a teacher that really teaches is one who exhibits the teaching he's teaching about. He lives it out in his heart, in his life, in his experience day by day. We think about the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he healed people. People came to know him. Many different ills, people with demon possession, people with blindness, people who were deaf, people who were paralyzed, people who were hemorrhaging, people who were in a lot of different places found the Lord Jesus Christ. In a house, on a lake, in a desert, by a grave, in a garden, in a synagogue, at a wedding, during a funeral procession, Jesus Christ got hold of the young man and brought him back to life again for that widow of Nain. Many different ways, by a physical act such as touching. We sang it before, he touched me. What a wonder it is that Jesus Christ would reach out and touch a leper. People don't want to touch lepers today, but Jesus Christ wasn't afraid to touch a leper and show his love for that one. We think about Jesus Christ spitting, applying clay to the eyes of the man blind. Or the woman who touched the hem of his garment, you remember. Just if I could reach out and get hold of his garment, get hold of his robe, surely I could be healed. He sent the person to the pool. God doesn't save people in stereotyped ways. God doesn't save people the same way. He does through the Word. He does through the work of the Spirit. He does by coming into the heart, into the life that received him as Savior and as Lord. But oh, the joy of realizing the many sides. We sit month after month over there at the Men's Fellowship. Once a month, we have the opportunity to be with the men from the colony and the women too, sometimes. And what a joy that is as we see God at work. We hear a testimony usually each month of someone in that colony. Either they've been delivered from pornography, they've been delivered from addiction, or they've been delivered from alcohol, drugs. What a tremendous joy it is to see God at work all different ways, and yet they all had the same experience. They came to know Jesus Christ. That made the difference. That made the victory over sin. God doesn't save people in stereotyped ways. God saves people individually. You remember this dear man, when he was there with papers in his hands, he wanted to kill Christians. He said, I was out there in the on the way going down to Damascus. There he wanted to destroy Christians, to put them to death. And yet, God called him. I used to preach under these verses. This is Acts chapter 26. And look at the full context here. Acts chapter 26 and verses 18 and 19. Acts 26 and reading down at verse 18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Those verses were on a big plaque right up there in front of the church in Little Perryville Baptist Church up in Rhode Island. And that's where I used to preach, underneath that placard, every time I preached. That the power of Satan unto God, that by faith in me they may receive forgiveness of sins and a share among those who are sanctified, those who are made holy. God takes us out of sin and gives us now a pure heart, a holy life in Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to know that he opens up our eyes. He's able to give us newness of life. Jesus Christ is received by simple faith. You remember the man in the Bible, Thomas? The first week that Jesus Christ appeared after rising from the dead, Thomas was absent from the occasion. And Thomas said, unless I thrust my hand into his side and put my fingers into the nail prints in his hand, I will not believe. Some people say he was from Missouri. You know, he won't believe it unless he sees it. Notice the words that Jesus said there. He who has seen me has believed, but blessed are they who without seeing have yet believed. How about you and I? We haven't directly seen Jesus Christ perform a miracle, and yet he can perform a miracle in our own heart and life. Seeing the Lord Jesus Christ through the Scripture, seeing the person of the Scripture, we can become saved. We can become those who are filled with that newness of life. You remember that tremendous verse in the Scripture? We think of this at Thanksgiving time, but it's not just Thanksgiving time. Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. There's an old hymn that says, we haven't words to begin to tell of the love of Jesus. We haven't got enough words to put together at all to share what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the miracle that Jesus Christ has wrought within each one of our hearts and lives who have believed.